Officials from the State Department of Corrections explain why they're considering cuts to community jails, including the one in Haines. And two local artists explain the challenges and joys of working on large mosaics for the Percent for Art program. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. Police departments across the state have been taken aback by a Department of Corrections proposal to end funding for local jails. Last week, we told you about how the proposal could affect funding for Haines. Sitka is also one of several local departments where cuts could force the jail to close. The proposal is only the beginning of budget negotiations between the governor and legislature, but the Department of Corrections says it doesn't have many options. KCAW's Rachel Waldholtz reports.
Sorry. We're going to give her a tour of the jail.
Yes, by all means.
Going to basically see it all. We're going to give her full access, lock down the inmates, let her walk in the hallway and see it all.
Jail supervisor Dave Nelson leads the way into the Sitka jail. Seeing it all doesn't take long.
Essentially, the cell block is just one big long hallway, and the males are on this side and the females are on that side.
There are four cells on the men's side, plus a holding tank and segregation cell, all lining one narrow hallway. There are no windows. Since we're in here, Nelson and jail officer Noah Shepard are taking the opportunity to serve coffee. The Sitka jail has a total of 17 beds, though Nelson says it could accommodate about 23 people if needed. Today, it's not needed.
Right now, we've got four in there. Up until last week, we were running at 13, 14 for about a month straight.
Alaska doesn't have the county jail system common in the lower 48, but when the nearest state prison is often at least a flight away, community jails like this one serve as temporary holding facilities. This is where people are held when they've been arrested while waiting to be arraigned, or after arraignment while bail is set. The jail also houses prisoners in town for court appearances. The funding for all of this comes from the state, but Governor Bill Walker's proposed budget, released earlier this month, would end that contract and zero out state funding for all 15 community jails. Sitka Police Chief Sheldon Schmidt says that proposal came as a shock.
I don't think people understood exactly what the ramifications would be.
In 2014, Sitka received more than $700,000 to fund its jail. Without the state money, Schmidt says the city simply couldn't run a jail for anything other than overnight stays. Schmidt says that makes no sense.
There's a lot of costs that are kind of hidden. What are you going to do with these prisoners? And if you're going to transport everybody, who's going to do all that? So I just don't think it was fully considered.
But let's start with, how did we arrive at the community jails? Because we certainly didn't start there.
That's Ron Taylor, Commissioner of the State Department of Corrections, or DOC. The department is facing a 5.3% cut this coming year, and like all state agencies, has been told to prepare for a 25% cut over 4 years. Much of the DOC's budget is tied up in its 12 prisons, which together house about 6,000 prisoners. A 5% cut would be the equivalent of shutting down two of those prisons, Taylor says.
There is absolutely no way that we can close two facilities within 6 months or 3 months or 4 months period of time.
Those cuts are coming, Taylor says, but not in time for the next fiscal year, which begins July 1st. Taylor ticked off the other main areas of the department's budget. There's the cost of health care for prisoners, which he says the department has little control over. And then there's probation and parole and reentry programs, which help prisoners readjust to life on the outside. Taylor says he's loath to touch those programs because they reduce recidivism and bring down costs overall. That leaves the community jails program. The department spends about $10.5 million a year on contracts with jails, covering more than 150 beds. But Taylor said that at any given time, about half those beds are empty.
And this is not where we're saying we want to close jails, because that's obviously not the thing that we need to do. I think what we're talking about now is we need to have the conversation to say, how can we make those community jails become more effective and fit more in line with the reentry management system that we're establishing?
Taylor admits the department didn't consult with local communities before proposing the cut. There simply wasn't time, he says. The DOC is now reaching out to see what the impact might be. And the answer so far seems to be quite a big one. Police departments from Sitka to Dillingham to Unalaska to Wrangell have told reporters that the cuts represent nearly all their local jail funding. In Haines, the funding represents 40% of the police department's entire budget. Sitka's Chief Schmidt says the cuts would have major ripple effects. In Sitka, I'm Rachel Waldholtz.
Alaska's Percent for Art in Public Places statute mandates that 1% of construction costs for public buildings are set aside to pay for art installations. An artist couple in Haines has found success with the program by creating mosaic murals for schools. Sharon and John Svensson created their first Percent for Art mural back in 2008 for Haines School. Since then, they've built mosaics for a pool in Juneau and schools in Juneau and Valdez. Now they're working on their sixth Percent for Art project, a mosaic for the Valley Pathways School in Palmer.
The sound of it is a lot to do with hearing if you know you did a good cut, a good score.
Sharon Svensson is cutting strips of bright green glass for the mural she and her husband John are making.
Yeah, do a one-incher.
They're working on a 4x14-foot mosaic. They started in January, and they're partway done.
If you can imagine, these are flying. We're calling it Taking Flight, and it's a bunch of ravens on this big panel, and then they're, behind the ravens are circular shapes, which could be suns or something like that. And in the middle, we've taken a bunch of strips of colors and stuff and then twisted it. And gave it this radical swirl, and these swirls
spiraling out.
Spiraling.
Black shards of glass form ravens against bright yellow, pink, and green pattern background. The glass is shipped up in sheets from Oregon. The Svenssons cut and smooth it into the shapes they need.
Then I go to the grinder. So then
Sharon holds up the little green circle of glass she just formed. It took about 2 minutes just to make that tiny circle. So many little pieces go into such a large mosaic. It takes a long time.
Little dab of glue on the back of that. And fit it right into there. Boink, there's a piece.
The Svenssons work about 5 hours each day for about 4 months on each project, meticulously cutting, smoothing, and gluing colored glass onto a huge piece of plywood. This kind of work has been their main job for the past few years. Here's how the process goes.
We go take the ideas back and forth. You know, if I have an idea, and then he can actually put it down on paper better than I can.
And I'll go out and drop the wall size on a piece of paper and just start drawing on it.
And you get the cartoon all drawn. Then we prepare the plywood. Then you start cutting glass up.
Sharon has been a mosaic artist, or mosaicist, for about 15 years.
It's colorful. It's the depth of the color and the sparkle, and it's shiny.
These 1% for the arts projects are some of the largest mosaics she's ever made. She says it is slow work, but when the project is finished, it's a great feeling.
And to do something so big and then see the finished product is really thrilling.
Before these projects, John worked primarily as a painter. John and Sharon started working together because the mosaics are too huge for just one artist. They say they're a pretty good team. They don't conflict much over creative visions.
Yeah. Before we actually lay down the glass, we work out what we're doing. So any disagreement is like in the initial design in a way. Well, but these colors, you know, we'll look at these colors and go, well, I don't know, you know, if that goes with that, and kind of work that out as we go.
The Svenssons also run a gallery called Extreme Dreams where they sell their artwork. John says usually you just hope your pieces will sell, but with these, there's more certainty and stability, which is why they keep applying for the projects.
They pay well.
Well, it's money. When you're bound by contract to the Palmer, that whole borough system, it's pretty serious stuff, and you're signing these huge contracts, and but you know in the end you're going to get paid for it.
The Svenssons charge $500 per square foot for their mosaics. The projects usually total between $30,000 and $60,000. But because the materials are so expensive and the work is so slow...
I would say if we could pocket a third of what we're charging, that's pretty darn good. We're working in a really expensive medium.
Once the mosaic is done, the Svenssons transport it to the school and install it.
We never breathe a sigh of relief until it's on the wall, and the engineer who is involved and the other people look at it and approve it, stamp of approval. That's what you're always wanting. That's the high moment of the whole thing, like, yes, we're absolutely done.
And, principal
and
is
it's
happy.
Tense up
the kids are happy.
It's darn tense.
And they get to watch the excitement of the students when they see the murals hung up in the hallway for the first time.
Little hands would go up and there were whales and they were pointing at things in it and just seeing what they're focusing
relating
on.
To, yeah.
And the principal later said, like a week later, said the reaction has been way cool.
Sharon and John plan to keep working on 1% program commissions. They have 2 more in Juneau already booked, which will keep them busy for the rest of the year. One day, Sharon hopes she'll have the time to make a mural like this for their own home. You can see pictures of the Taking Flight mural in progress at khns.org. For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening.